Good morning and a warm welcome to our guest. We're very pleased that you're here, that you are interested in what we do here in terms of worshiping and delighting in the worship of our Heavenly Father. And we're glad that you're here to encourage that effort. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the scripture reads that the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." A little further on in that same text, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" There is no doubt about it that the wedding day is a very special day, and it is really very central to the marriage union. And yet sometimes couples forget the part that says, "Till death do us part." In fact, even after several years of marriage, a couple can only remember parts of that day, and that's probably due to the pictures that were taken. Perhaps that is why God's Word gives us so much instruction for husbands and wives and in their relationship. And still, married couples will find themselves questioning, just what does God expect of me in this lifelong union? What is it that God really wants? So this morning I want to study with you about love and submission in marriage. These are not the most easy topics to preach on, to discuss, and I have put many of my thoughts on the slides because I don't want to be misunderstood, and I want to be clear, and I want to say things the way that I have thought them out, and so that's why I will have several slides for us this morning. But the first thing I want to start with is the terminology that I just used, love and submission in marriage. It is something that is found in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 deals with it. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, it tells us, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And then in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives." Same message is given by the Apostle Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where again it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them." You know, in our day, there is probably no word that is harder to tolerate for women than this word submit. And for a good reason. In so many ways, teaching on submission has not been done accurately. And there are a lot of preconceived ideas that people have about it. And so even though many wrong things have been taught and done in the name of submission, the Bible does talk about this, and it's a very important subject. I don't suppose there are many preachers that have not had a young man, a young married man, come to his office and stare him in the face and say, how do I get her to obey me? I have been there, and I know many of my preacher friends have been there as well. And so I want to begin this morning by looking at the teaching. The Holy Spirit uses the words love and submit, and it doesn't follow that we necessarily understand what they mean. We might think we know, or we might have heard from someone preaching on this topic somewhere else. All I want to do is share the scriptures with you and reason together with you as the word encourages us to do. First thing I want to do is look at some general observations about submission. The very meaning in the Greek word for submission is hupotasso, and it's a military term meaning to subordinate or to rank under, to be under, to submit oneself unto. It is translated in many of our English versions of the scriptures as submit, submitting, submission, submissive, subject, subjection, and obey. Now, one thing that I want us to take a look at is a few passages on this use of this word submission and how it's used, the word hupotasso. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, Jesus, as a boy, was subject to his parents in Nazareth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, in the context of women prophesying in the church at Corinth, and it was causing disruption, and things were not being done decently and in order, the Apostle Paul told these prophesying women to be submissive, to be submissive. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the passage tells us that God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. It is the idea or the words that put under that is hupotasso. We see here how it is insubordinate. All things are subordinate to Christ in the church. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 9, servants are to be obedient towards their masters. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, 1 Peter 2, verse 13, Christians are told to submit to the government authorities and ordinances. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 5, younger people are to submit to their elders. Now, I just had one point, and there are many other passages we could look at. I just had one purpose. I didn't want to labor this point, but just to make this point that submission and a submissive spirit is not limited to the wife and her role in the marriage relationship. It is the spirit of one in Christ in a variety of relationships, not just the husband-wife relationship. And so if you want to do a study on that, you'll see how that submission applies to all of us. But today I want to focus on the marriage union. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 21, we read, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this is Christian to Christian. The attitude that we're to have towards one another is a spirit of submission. In other words, in terms of our spirit, in terms of our thinking, we want to rank ourselves below our brother or sister. Okay. Now, it helps us to understand the context of this. In it all began really in chapter 4, in verse 17, where Apostle Paul is talking about Christians are to put off the old man and to put on the new. And there are certain things that putting on the new man in Christ that we are to do. And he goes on in chapter 5 to talk about some of those. And he starts off in verse 1. Be followers of God as dear children. Dear children. And then it's explained as he goes on in that text down through verse 21, where he's talking about categories. He says, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. And these are all aspects of what is included in putting off the old man, putting on the new. And then in verse 21, he said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's then that he goes into this discussion about wives, submit to your husband. So it's a spirit of submission. It's a spirit of one who is in Christ that we're talking about here. We live out our faith in the context of relationships. And those relationships vary. There's a number of connections that we have in the workplace, in the community, in the church, and in our family. And it's this spirit of submission that is to reign. And yet, I'll tell you, it's a spirit that does not go unchallenged. First thing I want to look at is that in Christ, all believers are equal before God. In Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 28, we read this in our Bible class this morning, Paul writes, "For you are all sons or children," some translations render it, "of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." Now, what he's saying, there is neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ. The only point I want to get out of this is that there is no gender value system in God's kingdom. God loves husbands and wives. They are, as the scripture tells us, and we looked at that, they're joint heirs together. So this submission is not based upon superiority or inferiority. It's based upon function and role that God has given to both husband and wife. It has nothing to do with inferiority or superior. It's strictly dealing with function and role and differing responsibilities. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Now, the concept here is that a wife is to submit to her husband. This is not a general statement that women are to submit to men across the board. That's a different study. But what I wanted to point out in this verse here is that wives submit to their own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What does that mean? As is fitting in the Lord. Fitting means that it is the appropriate behavior for the Lord's people. That's what that is talking about. It is fitting because it reflects God's design and His orderliness. We don't have to look too far. Just go outside and look at our creation to see that God is a God of order. God is not a God of chaos. He doesn't want it in the local church. He doesn't want it in our families. He is an orderly God. And so we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, part of this orderly system that God has ordained. In verse 3, Paul writes, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, I've got some graphics here, and I hope that they help us in this discussion this morning. As we take a look at the first one, that God is head of Christ. Does that mean that God the Son is inferior to God the Father? No. As we can study our scriptures, we find that all three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they all are one in unity. They are all one in purpose, and they are all God. The Son is not inferior to the Father, yet the Son willingly submits to the Father. And we can see that in so many areas of Jesus' life. He said several times, he said, my work is to do the will of my Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, as he is anticipating the death on the cross, he prays to his Father, and he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is the Spirit of Christ. It doesn't mean that Jesus is inferior to his Father. As we take a look at Christ being the head of man, Christ is head of both man and woman. They take their direction from Christ, willingly submitting to his leadership. That's what we do here. Our desire is to take our direction from the head, from Christ. His direction in how to worship, how to pray, how to sing, how to teach. Jesus is, and how to be husbands and wives. Jesus gives the instruction. And both the woman and the man, as husband and wife, are joint heirs with Christ. We see that in Romans chapter 8, 17. If children, then heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We talked about that extensively in class this morning. So, again, we're talking about value is the same. Now, let's look at man is the head of woman. Does that mean the woman is inferior to the man? No, absolutely not. Just like Jesus is not inferior to his Father. Man and woman are both equal in God's planned design. However, they have different roles to fulfill. Just as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit have different functions and roles that they fulfill. The overall plan of the universe came from the mind of God. Jesus fulfilled it. The Holy Spirit revealed it. Again, we see roles here. The same thing is true in a husband-wife relationship. As far as the man is concerned in a marriage, he is commanded to lead his family in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Also, Christ is head of the church. Look at that in more detail in a minute too. And the woman, the wife, is voluntary submission. Submission is voluntarily yielding to someone who has God-given authority. That is critical to understand this. The God-given authority to the husband is to lead. He's commanded by God to lead. And the wife is voluntary submission. Now, let me summarize what we've talked about so far. Submission does not mean certain things. It does not mean lesser degree of worth or value. It just isn't so. Nor is it never expressing your opinion or never disagreeing in a marriage union. It does not mean slavery. It does not mean tolerating abusive behavior. It does not mean being a doormat for an abusive man. But the Scripture teaches us something that it does mean, and that means to willingly subject oneself in the same way Jesus did to his parents in Nazareth. In Luke chapter 2, same word, hupotasso. And it is also recognizing that the husband's role is God-appointed. Now, I know a lot of folks in the world have a hard time with this, and I'm I'm primarily talking to husbands and wives who are both Christians. And that they, the two have become one flesh, they understand what that means, that to help one's spouse is to help oneself. Okay. But there are some things that we struggle with sometimes. Sometimes we have a hard time blending. How does a husband love? And how does a wife submit? And how does that all work? That's what I want to look at for just a few moments here. You know, before I go there, I did read something in studying for this lesson that, again, the military concept of ranking under, and how maybe during wartime that a platoon will be sent out on a mission, and there will be one person who will take the point, and all the rest follow him. And that's the analogy of the husband. He is to take the point. He is to lead. But one of the things we'll talk about in a minute is, how is he leading and where is he leading? It's so very, very important. But that point man is no more important than the ones following. They're all of equal value. And so what ways does this play out in a marriage? What does the Bible mean when it calls for submission in a marriage? First of all, submission to a husband looks like helping him succeed in his leadership and becoming more and more a man of God. Now, I know as I'm going to take a look at the man's responsibility to love, and I know I'm going to go through a lot of things about submission here for the woman, and it's going to seem like, man, wait till I get to the man's part. Helping a husband to become the leader that God wants him to be that man of God. Why did God create woman? To be his helpmate. To be his helper. Again, the concept, when two become one flesh, and Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and nurture her. To help yourself, or to help your mate, is to help yourself. In Proverbs chapter 31, a text that is often referred to as the worthy woman, verses 11 and 12, it talks about this woman. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what submission looks like. Does him good and not evil. She takes care of him and the home. She makes it possible for him to focus on leading and providing for the family. That's what headship is. That's what leadership is. And she helps him in that way to help him to be successful. Submission also involves following the husband in his decision making. This is where some real challenges come into play. Suppose that a big decision needs to be made in your home, like maybe buying a house or buying a car or having children or which church to attend or some other major decision, maybe moving to a different state. Some of the challenges there. First of all, a husband and wife are to talk about it together and weigh the options. He's not to just run off and do it all by himself. And after they do talk and discuss it and weigh the options, if they just aren't in agreement or aren't clear on it, and a decision has to be made, she's to follow the lead of her husband. Now, one of the areas of caution in counseling with married couples, you know, one of the great challenges for a wife in submitting to her husband is perhaps his track record. Perhaps it hasn't been so good. Perhaps he's really used poor judgment in the past. Maybe he has just totally shown himself to be irresponsible in ways, and that shakes her confidence. And I've talked with couples where he's supposed to be paying the bills and doesn't do it, and she says, "If I don't do it," and she's crying the whole time, "If I don't do it, it doesn't get done." And you know, and you feel empathy for them. It's not easy. But this is where it's very important that the two of them sit down and exercise mutual respect and honesty. Look at the facts. Have I not been too responsible as a husband? Have I not been leading? But when disagreeing on an important matter, there's no room for prideful arrogance, like I'm the head of the house and this is how it's going to be. That's not the kind of love that the Scripture's talking about. And you know, sometimes when men forget that and selfishly push forward in their own way and rejecting her judgment, it would serve them well to remember that she chose to marry him. And certainly that is a reflection that is not in his favor. She married him. Her judgment, you're challenging her judgment. Think about that for just a minute. That is not a favorable thought for a man. And I'll tell you something. My wife has saved me more times than I can count in our 50 years together of marriage. And I think part of it is maturing and getting over the pride aspects of it. But the point is that in areas of disagreement, the wife must remember to demonstrate restraint and respect. The bottom line is that for a wife to submit to her husband is part of God's good and perfect will, is part of his perfect plan. God's created order, and he has created good in this order for our good. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we don't often look at this passage in the concept of husband-wife relationship, but it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." That includes, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to submit? We must understand what is God's will. Okay, what about in hard situations? What does submission look like when the husband is difficult and not leading her well? And that's probably something that happens in every one of our homes from time to time. Or what does a submission look like whenever the wife is a believer and the husband is not a believer? That has some of its unique challenges. What I would encourage you to remember is that God knows that. And he's on your side if you're a wife in that situation. And he has also given you counsel in his word about what to do and how to handle that. And I want to take a look at two thoughts. One is, a wife's submission is not absolute. It's qualified. Submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. We come back to that passage. What is fitting is meaning it's the Lord's will. It is fitting for a wife to follow her husband. It is not fitting for a wife to follow her husband into sin. What if a woman's married to a man? He may even wear the name Christian. But he's cheating on his income tax, and he wants her to sign the form so they can send it in, and she knows what she's signing is not true. She can't do that. What if a husband wants his wife to sit down and watch pornography with him? She can't do that. No matter what it is, if it's against the will of God and God's standards and what He has ordained, her responsibility ultimately is to the Lord. And so a wife's submission is not absolute. You have a husband who is beating his wife regularly. She's got to get out of that situation because he's not going to change. She's not supposed to just getting her head beat in. It is not absolute. Yet, I want to say this. It's still possible to demonstrate submission, even in those situations, by the attitude with which she says no. Author John Piper said this about this situation. She can show by her attitude and behavior that she does not like resisting his choices and that she longs for him to forsake sin and lead in righteousness so that her disposition to honor him as head can again produce harmony. Now, you don't have to say it just like that, but get the concept of what he's talking about here. It is saying no in a submissive manner, that I cannot do that. I can't join you in whatever it is that is wrong. You know, even when a Christian wife has to stand with Christ against the sinfulness of her husband, she can still do it with a spirit of submission. Submission doesn't involve following a husband into sin, though even that refusal should be done in a spirit of submission. Secondly, a wife's submission is influential. Scripture tells us that. Tells us that doing things God's way is better than asserting our own will to try to change another. And it can result, by doing things God's way, it can result in his salvation. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the context here, Peter is writing to a woman who is a believer, who's married to an unbeliever. He's telling her how to conduct herself. He said, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." Here we're seeing the submissive spirit of one in Christ. And this applies whether you're married to an unbeliever or a believer. Responding in the same way has the same hope, the same possibilities. And so doing things God's way is the right way. It's what is fitting. Okay, there's much more that could be said, but I need to get on to the men here for a minute. Husbands, love your wives. What does that look like? I don't think that there's any man here or husband here that is going to say, "Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that until today." I know you know these things. I'm going to spend less time on defining the meaning to love than I did with defining submission. Love is self-giving. And in marriage, it is giving of yourself, your time, your attention, your possessions, your heart, so that the wife can experience the grace and goodness of God. Do you know any woman, a single woman, that is just standing around rubbing her hands together and saying, I just can't wait till I get married to a man who's going to control me and tell me everything to do? I don't think there's too many of those out there. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church. And did what? He gave himself. Love is self-giving. It isn't biblical agape love if it isn't self-giving for the purpose of bringing people into a deeper relationship with Christ. Husbands, do we really think about that? Do we think about our mate like that? Or do we just think about, well, I go out and I earn the bacon, come home, you know, I provide, and I'm a good husband, I'm a faithful husband. So are we thinking about how are we helping bring her into a deeper relationship with Christ, so that she can taste the goodness and the grace of God? Because God's plan is husbands love, wives submit. She needs to understand what that is accurately. And we men have the responsibility to show her that. We are called to give our wife a real life taste of the love that Jesus has for us. What does that involve? First, it's love by leading. If wives willingly are yielding to our direction, it implies that we are taking them somewhere, that we are leading. Where are we leading them? You think how much easier it would be for a wife to have a submissive spirit to a man who loves like that, who loves by leading. Where are we leading? Are we being intentional about increasing her joy in the Lord? Or are we just taking her for granted, content to be served all the time? What about concern for our wife's relationship with the Lord? To love her as Jesus loved the church needs to be our first priority as a husband. How do we do that? We do that by, number one, assuring that she is part of a local church where God's word is preached and it's lived. You know the problem, though, sometimes with us husbands? Too often it's the wife who leads the husband. But God says it's his job. We are to lead by making sure that she has time alone with the Lord. And if you have children in your family, I guarantee you she is way more busy than you are. We lead by providing her time to read, study, and pray. We lead by knowing her needs. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells us that we are to dwell with our wife with understanding. We are to know our woman. He says, because if you don't, your prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. It affects our relationship with God. We lead by paying attention to her spiritual condition. What's she struggling with? What burden is on her heart? Make sure that your calendar of events don't run her ragged. We love her by putting away harshness and not being bitter towards her, as Colossians 3:18 says. Not venting anger and criticism and coldness after your hard day, husband. Not being annoyed that the house isn't clean after her bad day. Not getting upset when she asks you to fix something or to take the kids to practice when you have other plans. I'm not trying to be exhaustive, just trying to prod us men in ways that maybe we haven't thought about before. It's being compassionate, kind, patient, and all the rest of Christ's attributes towards them. That is the spirit of one who is in Christ. And these things are what real men do. I just kind of smile sometimes when trying to study with maybe somebody that's of the macho variety and he thinks being a Christian is weak. You tell me what's weak about any of those things. It's hard being the head. It's hard being the leader of a home and a family. But that's how God has ordained it. And we have a lot of growing to do in that area, all of us. And it takes a lifetime. And we will mess up. But we need to love and cherish one another. Not try to lord it over our mate. The second reason love leads is because it draws attention to the gospel. Love is in submission. Both of these traits in marriage point to something greater than marriage itself. It points to love that is perfectly revealed and displayed as Christ loved the church. That's what a husband and wife relationship is to do. You know, oftentimes when I perform a ceremony, I will pray that God would help that couple to be what He wants a marriage to be. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 27, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church and Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's how a husband loves his wife. As Jesus loves the church, he cherishes her, he nurtures her, he's patient with her. He tries to help her be holy, without spot, without blemish. You see, marriage is about drawing attention to the gospel. That's what Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 is about. It's about Jesus' relationship to the church, his headship, and that how he is the pattern for a man. Look at how Jesus loves. If you're not sure how to blend love and submission, study the life of Jesus. You're missing something in his character that you need to apply to yourself. It's not about us. Let me finish. Love and submission in marriage. It's what we're to aspire in our marriages. It's how do we do marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus, representing Him and His love toward us through the sacrifice of his love on the cross. You see, one of the most powerful tools of evangelism is a husband and wife who are living God's plan. It is very appealing because I guarantee you, majority of people in the world who don't have Christ as the head and the center of their home, they're struggling with these things that we talked about. And when they see it in someone else, people want to know, how is it that your marriage seems to be so good? That's what the power of a marriage relationship that is based upon love by the husband and submission and respect by the wife. You know, it's easy to stand up here and talk about these things. And I know probably many of you are sitting there saying, yeah, preacher, but what about this? You don't know my situation. I probably have heard it many times. And I'm not claiming to have all the answers. But I do know that God's way is right. And if this is what God and his word tells us, let's respect it as he has revealed it. It's not a matter of superiority. It's a matter of orderliness and role that has come from our Creator as he has ordained it. Pray with me. Father, we know that you are right. We know that your wisdom is good wisdom. It benefits us if we will heed it. And Father, as we've studied this morning, though we don't have all the answers, and I certainly don't have all the answers, we know that your word contains the principles that we need to guide our lives. And Father, I want to ask you to bless us as husbands and wives. Help us husbands to take another look at our leadership role, at our role to love our spouse. And for those who are wives, thank you, Father, for loving husbands and wives equally, that no one is superior, but that we just have differing roles. And as hard as it might be sometimes, Father, help these dear women, our wives, be what you would have them to be, all to your glory, all to preaching the gospel in a lost world to other lost families. Thank you, Father, for loving us and giving us your counsel. Help us to live it. We pray through Jesus. I appreciate your kind attention. I know the last 2 weeks I've gone over time, but I hope you've been benefited. I hope it maybe answered some questions that you may have had in your relationship. If you knew all those things already and it didn't help you, God bless you. Thank you for listening anyway. If anybody has a need to respond to the invitation of the Lord to either to become a Christian or to be restored to faithfulness or to seek the prayers in your marriage relationship or some other reason, if we can be of help to you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.